What's up, patrons, and welcome to a Clone Wars audio commentary. We're not going to waste any time here, we're just going to jump right in. So to sync up with Netflix or however you're watching, I'm going to count down and say 3, 2, 1, pause. When I do that, just pause this recording. Hit play again right when the yellow title disappears from the screen and you should be all synced up. So here we go, 3, 2, 1, pause. A wise leader knows when to follow. Welcome to the Cat and Mouse Commentary. This reminds me of the On the Front Lines book that came out last year. I was surprised that... It basically breaks down a lot of big battles throughout Star Wars, and it includes this battle, which because it takes up a handful of episodes and the Clone Wars movie, so they kind of combine everything together, and I thought that was a pretty cool little detail.
That is cool.
I think they were just trying to include a battle from every single theatrically released film. Since the Clone Wars movie was theatrically released, they included Christophsis. But they also talk about everything that happens in all of these episodes. I guess I should say, you know, if...
Oh, Tarantula Man!
I loved your face when you kind of put the pieces together and you were like, Admiral Trench, Admiral Tarantula, oh my gosh. But I should say that if you're choosing to listen to these commentaries in chronological order, welcome.
Oh yeah.
This, because this would be the first one that you listen to, even though it's not the first one we've recorded. What do you think of Trench?
I'm interested in the fact that Yularen knows of him.
Yeah, I wish that they'd dive into that more in this episode.
Like, he seems like a well-known kind of guy. And I feel like he's a cool-looking bad guy. I wish he got...
He's got a lot of medals. Look at him.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to, like... What?
Admiral Trench, a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Do it.
Make it happen. Do it, you cowards. Like, what kind of wars did he fight in before the Clone Wars? I mean, I'm sure there were, like, little conflicts here and there. It's just... We've only ever experienced Star Wars, really, through a galactic conflict.
Yeah.
It'd also be interesting to get some stories about smaller battles.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see more of his species.
Yeah. I will say I think it's... I should talk about this later when he blows up, but too late.
Spoilers.
I would hope that they have seen the Clone Wars before and they're not watching it with us as the commentary for the first time. But when he blows up at the end, it's like, okay, he should be super dead. But then he comes back just like Maul. He comes back in the story reels that were unreleased, although they might be released... in season 7 when it comes out. But, like, he's got half a robotic face and stuff. It's like, come on, he shouldn't have survived that.
I don't know, isn't there something about spiders and pulling off their legs?
Oh.
Like, they can grow them back, or...
I think that's lizards.
Maybe they're just fine with they're just not cool all with of it. Their legs.
They're like, I got 8. I lost 1, it's no big deal.
Do spiders normally have 9 legs?
No, they have 8.
Oh, you said...
But, no, I was saying, like, I have 8, so if you pull one off, it's not a big deal. I got 7 more.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan should have let him walk right into it.
That would have been hilarious.
I really liked that the Tarkin book used this design for the Carrion Spike, Tarkin's like personal
ship. Oh, yeah. I wish they had perfected the idea of stealth technology a little further in the Star Wars galaxy. Yeah,
maybe we haven't seen the last of it. I wouldn't be surprised if Resistance brought it up or something.
Mm-hmm.
The First Order seems to keep pulling new technology out of their butts. Anakin's like, but I want to blow things up.
Oh, okay, so here's where Yularen recognizes who this guy is. He's got a cool symbol, first of all. It looks like his face. Cool fur coat. Unless that's part of him. Can't tell.
Yularen's just someone that I wish we knew more about, period.
Yeah.
I like him. Every time he popped up in, like, Star Wars Rebels, I was really excited. Oh, right. So Trench is supposed to have died multiple times.
Supposed to have been vaporized. He's not even a little bit vaporized.
Yeah. He doesn't have any robotic limbs. He's fine.
Excuse my coughing. I'm still sick.
How do you know it's just not another tarantula-faced man? Mm-hmm. Maybe they all use that symbol.
I feel like the last time we did a commentary, it was pouring down rain outside.
It's just been bad weather here lately.
Yeah.
But shouldn't be picked up by the microphones. If it is, I'm sorry.
That looks like a ship from Battlestar. Maybe... the president's ship.
A little bit. I always thought that the president's ship looked kind of like Hammerhead cruisers.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know if Anakin's ship here could have done this, but in the Poe Dameron comic... they use the Carrion Spike Tarkin ship that's like based off this. They use it to just ram straight through like a space station because it's got that point on it.
Yeah. It's a perfect ramming ship. Well, Anakin should be listening more closely to Yularen, seeing as he knows who this guy is and has dealt with him before.
But... yeah, I remember when we covered this for the channel, like in our video review, I was just kind of like, Anakin doesn't really embody the theme of this episode very well. A wise leader knows when to follow, and it's more like Yularen follows Anakin, but Yularen's mm-hmm. the one with all the experience. I feel like he should have been the one to have figured out something.
Yeah.
Had some insight in defeating him, and then Anakin would be like, that's a good idea. But the whole episode is just Anakin like, no, I don't want to deliver supplies. I want to blow things up.
So do you think the moral of this episode is actually about Yularen following Anakin?
I mean, that's what we argued in our video. Mm-hmm. So it could be. I just think that it would have been more effective if it were Anakin that had to learn to follow.
Right.
Because he's the one that's being headstrong the whole time. Yularen doesn't really have some big moment where he's like, oh, Anakin was right. It's just that he just has to hope Anakin doesn't get them killed the whole time.
He kind of does at the end of the episode, and he mentions that Palpatine warned him about Anakin. It kind of sets up the idea that Palpatine wants people to just let Anakin do his thing.
Yeah, it's true. Ha ha ha.
Hey, where have I heard that before? He sounds kind of like Boss Nass.
He does. They even do the clicks.
Yeah, he's like.
I was trying to figure it out. I was like, he sounds familiar, and that's what it is. Those are fancy helmets they have. Him too. All these clones have these, like, super extra helmets.
Yeah, I like this pilot guy's armor and helmet design. Looks really cool. And I like that the clones have, like, their own unique designs on their helmets.
Yeah, I've always been interested in that kind of thing, where the Empire chose to go against clones because they like couldn't stop them from being unique individuals, and they wanted their soldiers to be more brainwashed, and mm-hmm. for whatever reason it wound up being more effective to take actual human beings. Well, clones are actual human beings, but people that like were born of real parents and like lived lives were more easily brainwashed. And this is like one of the only times you ever see shields working.
Well, the idea of a military of actual people is that they should all act as one single unit. and the clones, because they're all clones of the same person and they all look the same, that kind of drives them to want to be more unique.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Which is why they have the nicknames and their different designs and haircuts and all that jazz. Tattoos.
See, everyone's just like, oh, gosh, I'm sure I'm glad Anakin didn't get us all killed again.
I would hate to be that guy's tailor. All those sleeves.
I like how, six of his arms are up at shoulder height, and then he has his legs as his eighth appendages, but like, shouldn't they be more evenly spread out?
Mm-hmm. He needs to be able to gesture wildly with lots of hands.
That's mean, Anakin.
Yeah.
Just not insulted an entire species.
Not the best first impression.
I wish he literally twirled his little mustache. Not little, it's giant. I don't even know what to call those things.
Mandibules.
Mandibles, yeah. I do like that they got around the Millennium Falcon. No ship that small has a cloaking device. No ship this small usually has a cloaking device. Plus, that ship is like three times as big as the Falcon.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, doesn't it seem like it would be easier to cloak a smaller ship than a big one? Maybe it's a question of power and like...
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe you need a big... enough reactor to make the cloaking stuff work. I like the submarine kind of feel for this ship.
Mm-hmm. It's got that, like, sonar.
Yeah.
Sound effect.
How does everyone know what a magnetic signature is all of a sudden?
Uh-oh.
Oopsie doodle. I mean, come on! He took a missile to the face!
He's like, see, I can do both at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm the best.
How often do they fly that ship? Why does it ever show up again?
Yeah.
Seems really useful. They used it in the very earliest part of the Clone Wars, and then they just stopped.
That's a great setup. For this being technically the first chronological episode of, like, how the Chancellor tells other people about Anakin, and, like, yeah, he's a little headstrong, but he knows what he's doing, and just let him do his thing. He's got a destiny, you might say.
Yeah. There you go. That was Cat and Mouse. As always, thank you guys so much for listening and watching along, and thank you for being patrons, of course, and may the Force be with you.